devotees here on this very wonderful, auspicious, most auspicious occasion of Sri Ram Navami. Sri Ram Navami Mahotsava Ki
Jai.
Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki
Jai.
What I will do, I will read a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two chapters which are focusing on Lord Sri Ramachandra. Can everyone please be quiet? Shanti, shanti. Om Shanti. And
Hare Krishna. Hey, jo bhi bachcha awaaz kar rahe hai, please baar leke jana. Hare
Krishna. You better do what he says. Otherwise we'll be in big trouble. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So in Srimad Bhagavatam in the ninth canto, chapters 10 and 11, there's a description there of Lord Ramachandra. His appearance, his main activities, and then his ruling after he killed Ravan and rescued Sita and like that. And then he went back to Ayodhya. So all these things are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is the most authoritative of all the Vedic literatures. For a number of reasons we say that. One, it is that the conclusion of the Vedic literatures, and second point is, we know that it has been preserved as it is. You know, Prabhupada always emphasized, we should get these things as it is, not as it isn't or as I would like it to be, but as it really is. So Srimad Bhagavatam exists as it is, whereas, for example, in Ramayana, there are different versions of even Valmiki Ramayana. Some include certain descriptions, some have left out, or for some reason certain things are not there. So in many cases it may not be so easy to really identify which is completely authentic or what. But the description in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can accept openly, wholeheartedly, that this is completely authoritative. Even though it is brief, it's just two chapters. So let us listen to just a few verses we'll read. And everyone try to be quiet. Turn off your cell phones if you can bear separation from your cell phone for a little while. Any cell phones that ring, 100, what do they call it? Dirham.
Dirham.
100 dirham fine. Okay. Towards building an ISKCON temple in Dubai. At some point in the future, we hope. Okay. So I'm going to read from ninth canto, chapter 10, beginning with verse 18. Raksha patis tadavalokya nikumbakumba dum raksha durmukha surantaka narantika din putram prahasta matikaya vikampana din sarvanugan samohinod atakumbakarnam. When Ravan, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemy. I was in Bali a little while ago. Have you been to Bali? It's nice. And there, in Bali, there is a big park up on the mountain which overlooks the main city. There's big, big, beautiful park. And in the park, there is a statue. It is, must be at least as high as the ceiling, of Kumbhakarna. Oh, you want to see that. Oh, 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 oh. And he looks like a first-class Rakshasa. And he is fighting the monkeys. And there are monkeys all over him. And he is huge, and the monkeys are sort of this size. But his body is the size of to the ceiling, maybe more even. Incredible statue. It's amazing. Yeah. So, Kumbhakarna, he was a brother of Ravan. Ravan had different brothers with different natures. Vibhishan, I'm sure you've heard of him. He was nice. He was a devotee. But somehow he was a brother of Ravan. And Kumbhakarna, he was also a brother, but he was more following in the footsteps of Ravan. And he was real Rakshas. In fact, he would eat whoever he saw. So, he came out onto the battlefield, Kumbhakarna, just running madly out into the battlefield, just grabbing some monkeys and eating them. Grabbing some of his own men and eating them. He had equal vision. He would eat anyone. So it was really bizarre scene. We won't go through all the details, but he died on the battlefield. So they're all fighting. Then Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman, and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa attack the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, khadgas, and tomarats. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. As we read through the verses, I may bring up some points here and there as we go. This is an interesting point here, that the soldiers of Ravan were being killed, just wiped out, devastated, because Ravana, not necessarily them personally, but Ravana, their leader, their boss, he had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. And a little later on, maybe we'll read the verse, the main wife of Ravana. Who knows the name of the main wife of Ravana? Okay, you know. Who knows the name of the wife of Lakshman? Okay. Good. Who knows the name of Mother Sita's mother? Fortune. Huh? Nena. Sunena. Sunena. Okay. So Mandodari comes out after Ravan has been killed, and he's just lying there dead body. And she sort of chastises him. And she says to him, "You did not understand. You underestimated the power of Mother Sita. You thought you could just kidnap her and lock her up, and now you have control of her, but you did not understand how powerful is Mother Sita." And Prabhupada, in the purport there, he makes the point that Mother Sita was not powerful in the sense, you know, like that sense, bodybuilding, big muscles, fighting. You get women who do that. I don't know if you get Indian ladies who do that. But she was not some big, heavy, powerfully built woman. No, she was a very refined, cultured, and even you could say somewhat delicate physically woman. But this verse we read right here, and then Mandodari repeats the point after maybe another several verses or so, the power of Sita. This is a very important point for the ladies to remember, and everyone should know that the power of a woman is not just that physical, muscular type of power, but the power of a woman is in her purity and chastity. This gives her power. And even it's described right at the end of this chapter, it's described right at the end of this chapter that Mother Sita was so powerful that whatever she asked Lord Ram to do, he would immediately do it. And she only had to ask one time, and she didn't have to sort of strategize her request, you know, how am I going to get him to do it? And she didn't have to henpeck him. I want this, 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 I want this. Until he finally gets to the point, okay, whatever you want, just tell me. But just stop. No, she never did that. But because of her chastity and that very pure and real love for Lord Ram. And her complete faithfulness and her very sincere mood of serving Lord Ram in whatever way he wanted, she completely controlled Lord Ram. Lord Ram, who cannot be controlled by anyone or anything, and could not be harmed even by Ravan. That same Lord Ram, whenever Mother Sita said, "I want this," immediately, without any argument or, you know, why, and don't we already have one, and it's expensive, and without all that sort of, you know, negotiation attempt. But Lord Ram, you just say yes, right? This is a real loving relationship. So she was very powerful because of her chastity. There's an interesting story. I don't know if you've heard. Srila Prabhupada, in his young days, when he was a householder involved in the pharmaceutical business, one time Srila Prabhupada was traveling on a train in India. And in the compartment were two young women. One was, you could say, a very traditional young woman. So she had a sari on, not even Punjabis, not even a gopi dress. She had a sari on, and certainly no jeans. But anyway, there she was. And her sari, would you believe it? You may not believe it. She had the end of her sari over her head. Can't believe it, can you? But it's true. Not just to warm her shoulders, but actually over her head. And she's sitting there, and she's probably in her 20s or something like that. Or very young, young one. And next to her was a modern girl. We're talking about the probably 1920s or 30s here. A modern girl dressed in the flashy style. So modern girl sitting next to the, you could say, traditional girl. For a joke, the modern girl pulled the end of the sari off the traditional girl's head. And traditional girl didn't say a word, just practically didn't move. She just pulled it back over her head. Like, no reaction. And the modern girl, she's laughing a bit and giggling. And a couple of minutes later, she pulled the sari off the head of the traditional girl again and laughed. And traditional girl pulled the sari over her head again and just sat there. No expression. A few minutes later, modern girl pulled the sari off the head of the traditional girl, third time. And traditional girl turned around and gave modern girl a good slap. Modern girl's head almost rotated. It was a real whack. In South Africa, in our Indian community. See, we have Indian community there. They've been there a few generations now. And they've sort of developed their own dialect. Combination English, Hindi, bit of Tamil thrown in. And when someone gives someone else, particularly a woman, gives someone else a good slap, you know, really, wham, it is called giving a person a what happened. Give them a what happened. Wham. And it's like, wow, what happened? So modern girl got up, sort of a little dizzy, and went out and moved to another part of the tribe. And Prabhupada said he congratulated the traditional girl. So this is the power, though, of a woman. The real power. Not, you know, sort of making displays of themselves, which is, you know, the first part of the strategy nowadays, how to snag a man. Display yourself, sort of show off physically. And once you've got him, turn on the thumb screws and try and get as much money out of him as you can. No, the real power is in the chastity. And this is how Mother Sita controlled, you could say, controlled Lord Ram. And this was her power. And in that sense, she was so powerful that, as we just read, this is Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, and it is repeated after a few verses. She was so powerful. Here it's being described, all of the soldiers of Radha were being killed. Not because they offended her, but because their leader offended her. And therefore, all the soldiers got killed. And she didn't do anything. She was just sort of sitting there. And then later, it is said, a few verses later, that Ravan was killed because of the anger of Mother Sita. So bear that in mind, ladies. And it's a very important point of culture. Also, you know, in Mahabharata, the soldiers and kings and warriors on the side of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, all that whole lot, it is said sometimes that their lives were shortened because of their offense against Draupadi. Dushasan was the one who directly offended, but the ones who didn't get up and stop him and intervene and try to establish right against his obvious wrong, like even Bhishma just sat there like, not my problem, it's not my sign. So it's described, their lives were shortened because of the offense against Draupadi. So this is really the power of a woman. Let's carry on. Please listen, devotees. Please try not to talk. See if you can remain silent for 30 minutes. Thereafter, when Ravan, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus, he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravan struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravan, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters." That's quite an insult, isn't it? You are the most abominable of the vegetarians. But you are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, In my absence, you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki
jai.
Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki
jai.
Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki
jai.
So there you see, very briefly, is the description of Lord Ram killing Ravan. And I wanted to mention a couple of points which are very important, but sometimes people don't think about them so much. Even people who know about these things don't really think of them so much. Is that question? Why did Lord Ram deal with the whole situation? Sita is kidnapped, then locating Sita, then crossing to Lanka, big battle, and so many killed, millions, and now we read Ravana is killed and then rescues Sita. Success. Why in that way? We were discussing this morning, we had a little program nearby this morning. We are discussing how in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a description of Lord Chaitanya touring South India, and he meets one Ram Bhakta somewhere down there, Tamil Nadu way. One Ram Bhakta, and this Ram Bhakta is just distressed. He's very disturbed. Actually, Ram Bhakta invited Lord Chaitanya, "Please come and I will prepare prasad for you." So Lord Chaitanya came and he's waiting and waiting, but no prasadam is coming. And indeed, he looked to see and Ram Bhakta had not started cooking. Ram Bhakta is just sitting there, sort of almost paralyzed, just crying and just... But he became dysfunctional. He was so distressed. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, what is wrong? And Ram Bhakta told Lord Chaitanya, "You know, I am so, so disturbed. I'm so disturbed. I want to kill myself." Lord Chaitanya said, "Why? What is the problem?" Ram Bhakta said, "I just cannot believe and I cannot tolerate the idea that Ravan touched Mother Sita. I just cannot deal with this at all. How could that Ravan, who, as we read, Lord Ramachandra said, the lowest of the cannibals. Did you ever meet any cannibals? You never know. I've met some cannibals in Africa. So cannibal, that's bad. That's very bad. Even if someone is a meat eater and they hear of such and such as a cannibal, even a meat eater will think, ooh, this is terrible. So Ram Bhakta was so disturbed. I cannot believe that Radham could touch Mother Sita, who is the supreme universal mother, and who is the supreme Lakshmi, the supreme goddess of fortune, and the most pure entity. I cannot believe it. And even if I do believe it, I just find it intolerable. So I'm going to kill myself. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, hang on, just hold on. I'm going to go and do a little investigation. So Lord Chaitanya went and visited some other temples down there in the south. And in one of them he found, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he found Kurma Purana, in which there's a description that when Ravan kidnapped Mother Sita, well, Mother Sita was within the circle empowered by Agni Mantra by Lakshman, right? But then she stepped out, and when she stepped out, Ravana grabbed her, and then that was that. So, in the Kurma Purana, it describes how, when she stepped through that circle, which was empowered by Agni Mantra, she went to Agni Loka and immediately, simultaneously, completely simultaneously, a Maya Sita came and was kidnapped by Ravan. Because Ravan, how can Ravan overpower the internal potency of the Lord, the spiritual energy of which, of whom Durga is a tiny, tiny little fragment of a fraction. Durga, who's controlling this whole world and whose energy our bodies are made of, and Ravana's body was made of, is just a material body. So Ravana, in his way, he was very powerful, but he had got his power from Durga Devi, because she's the material nature. How can such a person overpower the internal, complete internal potency of the Supreme Lord? Who controls the Supreme Lord? Well, it's not possible. It's actually not possible. So that's the description. If the Maya Sita was stolen and imprisoned on Lanka, and Ravan told her, I will give you 1 month to decide to become mine of your own volition. 1 month. If you do not decide in 1 month, I will eat you for breakfast. And he was serious. So this is a very interesting point which comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described in some length. And Lord Chaitanya took the pages from the book, out of the book, and gave them to the Ram Bhakta. And the Ram Bhakta was satisfied, and he didn't commit suicide. And he said, yeah, I knew Ravana could not have touched Sita. And he certainly couldn't control Sita and overpower her. You know, it's an interesting perspective on the whole story. But anyway, still, one way or another, Lord Ram, acting as if Sita had been stolen, he mounted this massive military campaign with monkeys and bears like this, and millions of them. And off they went to Lanka, and they got the stones to float. And they went to Lanka, and they attacked. And there was this huge battle, and so many died. And finally, as we read, Lord Ram killed Ravan. So now, consider this point. Srila Prabhupada discusses this elsewhere. Consider this point. Lord Ram is the Supreme Lord. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He can do anything. He can turn back time, turn forward time, destroy everything on the spot, manifest anything on the spot. It is just no problem. So, why did Lord Ram deal with the kidnapping in the way he did, this kind of drawn-out way? Took some time, and many died, including many who were close to him, died. Why? Prabhupada makes the point that Lord Ram, he could have just stopped Ravana right at the first step. He went chasing that deer who was actually who? Marichi. You know, he's apparently off a few hundred yards away, maybe in the forest. But he's everywhere. He's everywhere. And Ravana comes. Is Lord Ram incapable of stopping him? Of course he's not incapable, but he didn't. He didn't stop him. And then Ravana went flying, and it took some time. I don't know how fast he flew, but it took some time. He got to Lanka, and Lord Ram could have flown after him easily, no problem, and just grabbed him. Even when Sita was in the Ashok Grove, Lord Ram could just have extended his arm and picked her out. There's nothing. He could have done it. And even Prabhupada makes the point that, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Prithi Sanivishto, I am in the heart, Sarvasya, of all living entities. That includes Ravan. It includes Ravan, Krishna, and of course Ram, Krishna. They are one person, they are not two people. So Lord Ram, in other words, was within, physically, transcendentally, physically, in the heart of Ravan, right there. And I suppose you're aware, I hope you're aware, within the heart, or just around about there, there is the on-off switch. And don't worry, sooner or later, the off will be hit for all of us, and that will be that. So anyway, why did he not just switch off Ravana's heart, and that's the end of Ravana, and no need for a big battle or any of the heartache and pain? Why not? Because he had another idea in mind. Not because he was unable, or, you know, he didn't think about it. Oh, I should have done that. No. He had a plan. He wanted it to unfold in the way it did, even though it may have been the Maya Sita, but very few people know that. But I'm sure he knew that. He wanted it to unfold like that. And after all the battle and destruction, finally kills Ravana and rescues Sita. So why? Why? Not because he had to do it that way. Not because there was no other way to do it. Not because it was the best way, like the easiest, most effective way. But because Lord Ram wanted to teach everyone a lesson. You know, if you're familiar with Ramayana, like I said, there are many versions. But anyway, that's another thing. You'll see that Lord Ram does not give a lot of instructions like Krishna does. In Mahabharata, of course, particularly Bhagavad Gita, is just so much instruction about what to do, what not to do, and all spiritual perspectives. Lord Ram does not do it as much. There is less of that sort of preaching done by Lord Ram. You know, I saw some of Ramanand Sagar's Ramayana. You remember that? The serial? It played for ages. We had a set in that one of our temples, and I saw it, I don't know how many times. But in one of the episodes, there is Ram. He is in exile, he's in the forest, and he's meeting the rishis and the sadhus in the forest. And the rishis are preaching to Lord Ram. And in one of the places I saw, the rishis told Lord Ram, yes, and you know, it is all one. Everyone is God. And Lord Ram was sitting going, yes, Ram. And then I realized, wait a minute, they're a little confused here, because it's not all one, and not everyone is God. That is impersonalism. So anyway, Lord Ram, he did want to teach, even though he doesn't so much preach like systematically in depth like Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita or Krishna does to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Very systematic, you know, at some length, going into so many subject matters transcendently. Lord Ram does not do it so much. But now in this case, with the rescue of Sita, the killing of Ravana, and all that, Lord Ram is trying to teach a lesson. You know what that lesson is. It is a very important lesson. The lesson is that the Lord will do anything for his devotee, to help his devotee. No price is too high. In this case, millions died for one Sita. For one Sita. But Lord Ram did it in that way. Not because it was the only way, the best way, or, you know, what could he do? But because he wanted to show for his devotee, he's willing to risk anything and do anything. And it doesn't matter if they're non-devotees in the way, it doesn't really matter. He will do anything for his devotee. He values his devotees so much. This is a very important point. It comes out also just before the battle, as they were on the beach there in the Rameshwaram area somewhere, and they're just about to cross, and Vibhishan came on his airplane. He came flying in Air Lanka. No, anyway, 737. Not really. He came in some mystical airplane, and he's coming in to land. And if I remember, it was Angada who told Lord Ram, "Look, it's Vibhishan. He's Ravana's brother. Let's kill him. He's a Rakshasa." And Lord Ram said, "No, it's okay. Let's wait. See what he wants." So Vibhishan came in to land, and Angada's getting worked up. "Let's kill him. He's a demon. He may try to trick us or do something. Maybe he's a suicide bomber." And Lord Ram said, "No, just please be quiet. Let us see. He's only one. He's only one. What can he do against us? So let's see. He's coming to us." So Angada landed and got out of his airplane and came over to Lord Ram and threw himself at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. And I forget the Sanskrit, but he said, "My Lord, from this day on, I am yours." And Angada, if I remember correctly, Angada said, "No! Don't listen to him! He's a Rakshasa! It's just a trick, it's something. Just let us kill him and we don't need to worry whether he's a good guy or not." And Angada said, "My Lord, please understand. The only good demon is a dead demon." And then Lord Ram got really angry with Angada and said, Listen, even if Ravana himself came and surrendered to me and spoke like this, I would immediately accept him. I would immediately accept him." And then Lord Ram said that anyone who comes to me and says, as he has, that, "My Lord, from this day on, I am yours," I will never forget that person. No matter what happens to him, you know, even if he goes a little off track somewhere, but I'll never forget him. So Lord Ram appreciates devotion. He appreciates devotion. And even small devotion, just a little gesture of devotion. But we see how he cares about his devotees in this whole episode of the kidnapping and then ultimately the rescuing of Mother Sita. That it didn't really worry too much to him. What about, you know what, the Americans, the good old Americans, I don't know if there are any here, the good old Americans say, "Well, bit of collateral damage, what can you do?" And you're trying to shoot a terrorist from a drone with some missile, and 20 civilians get killed, including some children. Oh, such is life. Bit of collateral damage. So Lord Ram was not really so worried. He wanted, and he was going to rescue Sita and punish Ravana, and that was what he was going to do, and nothing would stop him, and he let nothing stop him, and nothing did stop him. He did it. And he showed, "Let the whole race of Rakshasas be annihilated. It's all right. I just want my Sita." So we should appreciate this. We should try to appreciate it. I know it's a slightly different perspective, perhaps, to what we are used to on the story of Lord Ram. But it's very important. It's very important to appreciate Lord Ram in these terms. So, and we can also consider a little bit, just a little bit, the character of Ramayana. Ramayana describes that on the last day, well, on the night before the last day, Lord Ram approached Ravana, and Lord Ram said to Ravana, "Look, just give me Sita back. That's all. Just give me Sita back. I have the power to bring all your soldiers, family members, everybody back to life. I'll bring them all back to life. I will make them forget that we were ever enemies. I will make them think we've always been friends. And we will be friends. And you rule. You rule Lanka. You rule Lanka. I don't want to make it a colony. You rule Lanka. And we will be friends. Just give Sita back. And you can have all your opulence and everything. Just give Sita back. That's all." And Ravan answered, "No." You know, one in a long string of many mistakes he made, he refused. What an offer. Talk about an offer you can't refuse. But he refused. And then finally they met on the battlefield, as we read. And Ravana, he was the last person on his side. Everybody else, every single man was dead already, including Kumbhakarna. And he came out alone. And there was the monkey army. The number of soldiers, monkeys, etc., of Lord Ram, the number which is given, how many there were in Sanskrit, 1 koti maha oga. Did you ever hear about that? 1 koti maha oga. It's a big number. It means 1 followed by 64 zeros. That's a big number. Quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, septillion, octillion. Yeah, it gets lost, doesn't it? So there was really a lot, in other words. And Ravan came out, 1 Ravan, against this group. And his consciousness was such, well, maybe you can guess from his decision the night before, the state of mind he was in. His pride, his arrogance, his overwhelming self-confidence was so great. He looked out, saw this vast number of soldiers, and he thought, "No problem, I'll just kill them all." And a devotee did a calculation. If he killed 1 monkey every second, it would take him more than a day of Brahma to kill them all. Billions of years. But he felt, "No problem, let's just go for it." So he embodies, of course, the mentality of the materialist in like a super exaggerated way. Ravan. So we should not follow in his footsteps. He tried to steal Sita. Sita is Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, the original source of all Lakshmis. Because Ayodhya, Iodia is the highest of the Vaikuntha planets. Before you reach Goloka, the last planet is Iodia. And beneath it are the sort of regular Vaikuntha planets. He tried to steal Sita. He didn't care for Ram. Means, in effect, he tried to steal Lakshmi. And he didn't care for Narayan. So, this is what's going on nowadays. Everybody wants Lakshmi. Everybody wants money. And as you know, we call money Lakshmi. Yeah. Everybody wants Lakshmi. But Ram, don't worry about it. It's okay. Let's leave him alone. So when you see people just pursuing money, but they're not including Lord Ram, Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna in the picture, then you know, here we have little Ram, following in the footsteps. So it's essential. It's really essential. It's one thing to need money, which means Lakshmi. It's one thing. But at least let us include Ram as well. And not just overlook Ram. Or just keep him on the side. You know, every Friday I come to the Sydney Hall. That's my Ram. And the rest of the time I'm chasing Lakshmi. No. So we should all be devotees. We should all surrender to Lord Ram. Take shelter of Lord Ram. Take shelter of Hanuman too. Hanuman Jayanti is coming up. What? 24th, I think. So take shelter of Hanuman. He's, in one sense, of course Sita is there, but in another sense Hanuman is a wonderful emblem of the devotee of Lord Ram. Let me close by telling you a little story. Maybe, I think many of you will have heard. When they got back, they finally got back from Lanka to Ayodhya, and now they're settling back into the palace and that way of life, and Ram is going to be crowned, and so on. And Hanuman came too. He had not been there. He was a forest dweller. But now he had come to the palace. And one day, just a few days after they got back, one day Hanuman saw Sita in her parting, which was in the middle. In her parting was sindoor, red. And Hanuman had never seen that. Apparently in monkey society they don't do that. But Hanuman saw the sindoor, this bright red, all the way back. And Hanuman asked Sita, "Oh, what happened to you? Huh? Did you hurt your head?" And Sita said, No. This is sindoor. I'm wearing it for Ram." Hanuman said, "Really? For Ram? What's it got to do with Ram?" And Sita said, "Well, if the wife wears the sindoor in the party every day, it means the husband will have a long life and be very healthy and strong. And it's good. It's good for Ram." Hanuman said, "Really? Wow. It's good for Ram?" And Sita said, "It's very good for Ram." So Hanuman became very thoughtful. "Wow. It's good for Ram. And off he went. And then Lord Ram came, and Sita's standing there in the same place now. Lord Ram is there. And they're talking. Suddenly, this red, anger, jumped out, red from head to toe. And they initially just couldn't understand, who is this? And then the Lord saw, Hanuman, it's you. Why? What have you done? What happened to you? Why are you covered in red? And Hanuman said, well, my Lord, Mother Sita told me she wears just a little bit in her parting, just a little bit. And she said, it's very good for you. You'll have a long life and be healthy and strong. And I want the best for you. So I'm just going to wear it all over for you. And Lord Ram said, thank you, Hanuman. Thanks, but no thanks. It's okay. You don't need to do it. It's all right. But I appreciate it. So this is the mood of the devotee. Hanuman was ready to wear this for the rest of his life. And everyone would think, what is this? This is crazy. But he didn't care. Let me look crazy. It doesn't matter. If it's good for Ram, I'll do it. Nothing will stop me. So this is how the devotee feels. The devotee of Ram or the devotee of Krishna. But this is how Ram feels. I'll do anything. Even I have to kill millions and destroy, and it's so difficult, I'll do it. For my pure devotee, I'll do it anytime. So let us take this Ram Navami festival as a special occasion to really reinforce our appreciation of Ram, of Sita, of Hanuman, and really reinforce and inspire us to take shelter more and more, follow in Hanuman's footsteps, follow in Sita's footsteps, and really try to surrender wholeheartedly to the Lord. And if we try like that, He will give His mercy. Our lives will become completely perfect in no time. And one morning, we will wake up and we will be in Sri Goloka Vrindavan Dham. Or Sri Ayodhya Dham. And I don't mean the one in UP either. The big one. Up there. Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai! Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai! Sri Ram Navami Mahotsav Ki Jai! Gopi Nande! Hare Krishna! Hare Rama!